Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together in your word. God, as we open up the scriptures today, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach each one of us. Feed us that everlasting food for everlasting life. Nourish our spiritual man today and make each one of us stronger in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, help me to be skilled in your word. Get it from my head to my heart. Bring it on down. Amen. This morning we are, and next week, we are going to be teaching on the gospel of the kingdom. And if you need a river update, there's an outline in the bulletin this morning. So we're going to start out with scripture Matthew 4:17. And let's read it together. From the time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This was the message of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Let's look at Matthew 9:35. Now this is setting this up. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and this is what he said. All right, that's later. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So this was the theme message of Jesus Christ, and this is what he did. He taught on the gospel of the kingdom. The word gospel means good news. I've got some good news to declare to you. The good news of the kingdom. Now, when you think about a kingdom, you can just translate that into government. The kingdom is the government of God. I've got some good news, Jesus said, to preach to you about the government of God. I am here from heaven as a representative. God sent him to represent on earth what was going on in heaven. Now in heaven, there isn't any sickness. In heaven, there's no disease. In heaven, there's no sorrow. And Jesus said, "I have come to give you a little heaven right here on earth." Hallelujah. This is the good news. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus came to reconnect us with the Father. All right, so kingdom comes from the Greek word. It's where we get our word basilica, but it's basila, and it means royal power, dominion, sovereignty. It is the king's domain. In the kingdom, the king makes the laws. The king makes the decisions. You see, we're used to living in a republic, a democracy, where everyone can voice their own opinion, where everyone can write their senator or their congressman. They can come up with some legislation, right? And they can try to pass laws. And so everybody votes on these things. But we don't vote in the kingdom of God. We don't have a vote. The kingdom is the king's domain. It's where the king has royal power. He is the sovereignty over his kingdom. It's like the queen of England. She's considered the royal power, the sovereignty over the kingdom. We don't live in that type of a place. So it may be a little more foreign to us, but the good news that Jesus brought was, "I am bringing the kingdom of heaven right here to the earth. And the King that you serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The King has established His laws in the heavenlies, and His word is eternal, and it never changes. He doesn't change His mind. He's the same today. He's the same yesterday. He'll be the same tomorrow, and you can count on Him. Hallelujah! He is not going to pull the rug out from underneath your feet. His economic plan has never changed. He says, give and it will be given unto you. He's got some principles for us to follow in the kingdom. Actually, it's His law and His legislation. And if we say, yes, Lord, and we come into agreement with that, God said, there is no good thing that I will withhold from you. And what you have need of, I've got a supply. God's got the supply. Where would I go but to the Lord? He's got good news of the kingdom. The King's domain. So God never intended for us to have religion. His original intent, plan, and purpose was to connect heaven to earth. To make a way for us to be able to have a relationship with our Father in heaven. He wasn't about creating religion. When you look back at the book of Genesis, it was all about relationship. It was about walking with God. It was about hearing His voice. It was about being in agreement with what He was doing. And Adam and Eve found out when they broke that agreement that they cut off the connection from heaven to earth. And the only way for us to once again be connected was for God to send His only Son. He sent Him to die upon the cross. He sent Him as a sacrificial lamb. And He gave His life for us. And somebody asked me, what do you think if somebody told you Jesus dying on the cross was not enough to forgive your sins? I said, well, I would think that's a partial truth. He had to die on the cross. But church, if He didn't rise from the dead, we would have nothing. So the cross, yes, we celebrate the cross. But I'm telling you, I celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. It takes all of it. If He would have just died and nothing happened after that, then we wouldn't have forgiveness of sins. Come on. And besides, I was not going to get in a theological debate with the person. Amen? God says to be careful what you engage yourself with. Because they'll try to wear you out. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ has that resurrection power. That resurrection power hit that man's body. It says if that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. That's the good news of the kingdom. You can have that power. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captive free. That's my Father's will. To connect us to heaven. And Jesus prayed, Lord, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. The gospel of the kingdom. The good news of God's government. I'm excited this morning. Hallelujah. Aaron, are you back there? All right, I see you. Can you put Genesis 1:26 through 28? on the screen. We're going to talk a little bit while he's getting it up there. I'm just going to share this scripture. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of man, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So in God's original plan, he intended for mankind to have dominion over the earth, over the earth realm. Remember, the word dominion, it means to have royal power. It means to have that authority. Now, since we're in the kingdom of God, we have delegated authority and power from above. Tell your neighbor, you got the power. We've got the power. But we haven't awakened to everything that God put into us. You see, once Adam and Eve sinned, that connection was cut off. The dominion was taken away. Do you remember the story? The serpent came and he took from them. He deceived Eve and said, oh, you won't surely die. But there was a spiritual death. We're spiritually dead until we're born again by the Spirit of God. We've got to get our minds off of the natural realm and into the realm of the Spirit and the everlasting. Because it's eternal and it's never going to go away. We know in this world these bodies will lay down. We went to see, went to the funeral of one of our friends this week, Nikki Kuhn, Pastor Terry Kuhn's wife, who suddenly passed away of a blood clot in her lungs. And she was 3 months from retirement. She was a nurse and well loved by the doctors, by other nurses, and even patients came to the funeral home to honor her and give tribute to her life. She was a great representative of the kingdom of light, bringing healing and restoration to people. But we know how quickly this life will be over. It's just a vapor. So while we're here, we are held accountable to number our days. Hallelujah. God knows the number, and when the number's up, it's up. I always say, the scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die. And so we have an appointment with death, unless we're resurrected out of here before that time comes. But in the meantime, we are called to represent the kingdom. And as God's representatives, we have dominion. We walk around and we say, oh, I'm a daughter of the king. I'm a son of God. But you know what that really means? It means we have royal blood. We are royal. We have access to the king. Instant access to the king. We don't have to wait for an appointment. We don't have to wait for him to call us back. We have instant access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we walk in an authority that God is awakening the church to, because until the Lord comes, we are to be about our Father's business. We were taught when we were growing up, you know, we were just looking for the coming of Jesus. We had this escape mentality. I just want to get out of here. Lord, just take me out of here. I just want to get out of this world. But then as you grow in the Word and more revelation has been released, we find out God has no intentions of just rapturing us away until we fulfill our assignment. Come on, we have an assignment. Jesus sent out his disciples. He, in Matthew 10, 7 through 8, if we can go back to the PowerPoint. And he told them this, read it with me. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's our assignment. That's the good news of the kingdom. So Jesus sent his disciples to bring the kingdom to earth, to release the supernatural into the natural. It was to restore people. It wasn't to put on a show. You know, people look for the spectacular. They look for a show. And there's been times we've had speakers in, and I've just sensed people who have come in to visit, it's just kind of like, show me what you can do. That is the wrong attitude. God don't have to show you anything. He probably won't show you anything. Sitting there, prophesy to me, prophesy to me. No. We need to look for the supernatural move of God. Because God is always at work in our hearts. He's always at work in our church. He's at work with our, and at work in the heart of our fellow brothers and sisters. It's so important that we connect. So important. There wasn't a worship service and all of that in Genesis, but there was a big worship service on the day of Pentecost when the church was born. God had plans for the church to come into the earth to accomplish his assignment. Jesus was taken out. And the assignment was left to us. So the gospel of the kingdom. We're going to take a look at this in Matthew 24, 4 through 14. And we probably won't get too much further than this today. But let's read this passage. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Messiah. And will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of war. But see to it that you're not alarmed. Let's just stop a minute. We hear of a lot of wars, don't we? Rumors of wars. Wars that are going to start. You see, the question that Jesus is answering before we go on. He was asked, when will the end come? We're always trying to figure out when the end is. When is it going to come? And so this is what Jesus was, that he was answering that question. Let's read on. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. So all the wars, rumors of wars that we hear about, that doesn't mean it's the end. Okay. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And he continues, because of the increase of wickedness, The love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So what is going to bring the Lord Jesus Christ back to rapture us? When this gospel of the kingdom is preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, then, tell your neighbor, then, the end will come. You see, we've been looking at all the trouble going on, all the wickedness going on, all the violence going on, but the Lord gave the answer right there. When will the end be? When the gospel of the kingdom has been preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, then the end will come. So the assignment of the church is to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world. Then Jesus Christ will come. Until then, he's held in the heavenlies. That's what the scripture tells us. He's held up there. He says, watch out that no one deceives you. See to it that you're not alarmed. Stand firm to the end and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And often people will say, well, then how many nations have been preached to? How far has the gospel gone? They're trying to calculate how much more time do we have? So I would challenge us to look at what God was saying through all of this, because let's read Matthew 28, 18 through 21. It says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, there were two well-known Christian leaders in 1975, Lauren Cunningham, who is the founder of Youth with a Mission, and Bill Bright, who is the founder of Campus Crusades for Christ. And they were given a simultaneous supernatural message for each other. Okay, they had a visitation, and they were given a message for each other simultaneously back in 1975. Both of them saw the same thing. And what they saw was seven strategic mountains or spheres of influence that shape the culture of every nation. Because you see, they had been seeking God and saying, God, how are we going to disciple nations? I mean, we think about disciple one-on-one. But how are we going to disciple nations? God said we're to disciple nations. Is that right? And so God gave them this message for each other. And when they got together, they realized that God had given them what we call the mountains, are the spheres of influence in every nation that actually shapes that nation. It's the mindset of that nation. It's the mindset of the world. So God told each of them to inform the other one, and their mandate was to bring godly change to a nation by reaching its seven spheres or mountains of society influence. If they could capture these strategic places, they would harvest the nations. Together, they developed a God-given world-changing strategy. And they concluded that in order to transform any nation with the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of Jesus Christ, these four mountains are society influences had to be reached. And one was religion, one was family, education, government, media, arts and entertainment, and business. These are all considered mountains. And why they call them mountains is because, write down the scripture, I'm going to read it to you, you can look it up later, but in Isaiah 2:2, it says, "Now it shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." So the mountain of the Lord, the kingdom of God, is coming down upon our society, upon our world, and it's going to reign over religion, family, education, government, media, arts and entertainment, and business. Revelation 11:15. Before I go there, I just want to share. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? Satan took him up on a mountain and he said, "Look at all these kingdoms of the world. They can all be yours if you'll just bow down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And he would not bow down. But Satan took him up on the mountain. Let's think about that. Satan transported him. People that say Satan has no power, he had some power if he was taking him up to a mountain. They were flying. And then he offered him this. So in Revelation, it's the seventh trumpet that sounds, and the kingdom of God is proclaimed. Write that down. You can read it later. Revelation 11:15. It says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God." When Satan took Jesus to the mountaintop, he said, "Away with you, Satan. Away with you, Satan." You see, he knew that one day the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ because he is the rightful owner. He said, "Away from you, away from me, Satan. You shall worship the Lord God, and only shall you serve, only him shall you serve." So Jesus commissioned his disciples, and he commissioned the church to preach the good news of the kingdom. So what happens? The strategy is for Christians to infiltrate all of these mountains. You know, for so long the church was like, oh, stay out of the world, can't get in the world, can't be involved in government, separation of church and state, which didn't mean what they say it means. So for so long, Christians pulled back and were afraid to get involved. But for us to bring the kingdom of God and to have an influence in any one of these areas, we've got to be involved. We've got to be involved. Yes, we take the kingdom of God wherever we go. The presence of God is with us. We have the ability to change the atmosphere. We also have the ability to really stir some things up in the atmosphere. We just need to be wise and know what's going on. If someone is bullying you, somebody doesn't like you, someone's trying to get rid of you, they probably have a whole lot of the kingdom of darkness in them. And they don't like the light that you bring into that place. So that doesn't mean we run from the devil. You know, it's understanding he gave us dominion. He gave us dominion. He commissioned us and gave us authority. And he has positioned every member of the body of Christ, of the kingdom of God, strategically in some place. And what God is speaking to us is we need to be happy with where he put us. And look for the purpose of why he put us there. Because if you make a mess out of that, then you're just going to keep walking in a mess. Because Jesus takes us from glory to glory. He doesn't take us from mess to mess. Often people will get a job and they'll be so excited the first 6 months. Oh, Pastor Janet's the most wonderful job I ever had, most wonderful people. And then before I know it, they're in the office and they're going like, I hate my boss. I hate that place. I just want out of there. And it's like, you know what? God gets us in places where he starts to put the squeeze on us. And what's not of God starts to show up. Comes out our mouth. It's in our thoughts. And he's given us authority. He gives us the ability to straighten all that out. And he'll help us. But we are to be his ambassadors and influence each one of these areas. There is so much going on in our world. And if you notice, it is a constant trying to divide and get people to take sides. I think I've told the church this before. Don't take sides. Don't take sides. Don't take sides and debate that with somebody. They're not listening to you. And so if we can focus them to the Word of God, what does the Word of God say about this? Where's an example in the Scripture? I have been praying for the judge, the Kavanaugh. Because when I was in prayer, the Lord brought the story to me of Joseph in Potiphar's house. Now, Joseph did end up going to prison, I believe for 2 more years. Because of, it might have been more than that. But he did end up going to prison because she lied against him. Potiphar had trusted him. Joseph was a well-educated man, a man of integrity, and Potiphar's wife came on to him. And she was mad at him because he would not lie with her. He would not have sex with her. He told her no. So she ripped his coat off of him. And she used that as evidence against him. And her husband believed him, and they had him thrown into prison. Now, that whole thing was a lie. The whole thing was a lie. But Joseph, being a man of integrity, he was able to stand through that, and he was in the prison, but he was about to get promoted a few years later. There was something else he had to go through. I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm not looking at that. I'm not taking sides. I'm just sharing with you what God showed me about Joseph. And so I am praying for the man. That even if there's a 2-year delay in what is supposed to happen, I know our God will promote him and bring him full circle. Come on. Don't believe everything you hear. The media is brainwashing you. The media is brainwashing. They'll say it over and over and over again. Don't believe it. Go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord, how should I pray about this situation? I want to see your kingdom come and your will be done in America. I want to see your kingdom come and your will be done in the leaders that are serving. So whoever God has allowed to be in the office is who God allowed to be. If God has all authority and all power, then the church needs to get behind and really begin to pray and intercede, because the devil has some plans that are coming against the kingdom of God. When we look at what is the values and the morals of the kingdom, that's what we go with. That's the candidate we go with. So as the church, we can shift and change things if we all get together and push in prayer. Pray until something happens. We've got to push for God's will to be done. We don't know exactly what that looks like, but we're going to trust him. Tell your neighbor, trust. Brian talked about it. Trust. We're going to trust. We're going to trust God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bring it down to earth. On earth as it is in heaven. Lord, connect us in this season. Connect our lives in this season. And help us, Lord, to realize who we are. That you have put us on this planet to do an assignment. A friend of mine posted a word this morning. He is a prophet from up in Michigan. And it was a good description about the kingdom. He said this, a message creates a reality. The nature of the message we carry determines the nature of the reality we live and minister in. What's your message? Those who fully embrace our God-given assignment for the message of his kingdom will see the ever-increasing government of God displayed in the affairs of mankind. The gospel of salvation is focused on getting people saved and going to heaven. The gospel of the kingdom is focused on the transformation of lives, cities, and nations through the effect of God's present rule. We must not confuse our destiny with our assignment. Heaven is my destiny, while bringing the kingdom is my assignment. Amen? That's our assignment. We'll be talking next week more about the kingdom. I'm going to ask praise team, if you'll come on up. We are going to sing this morning our closing song and have some ministry time at the altar. So if you can please make your way up here. While they're coming, I just want to pray over you. Father, we thank you for your revelation on the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and our assignment. Lord, thank you that you've given each one of us exactly what we need to fulfill our part. And so, Lord, just like you brought Lisa clarity this week and she received the revelation of what she needed for her business, we pray, God, that you bring revelation to each one of us so that we understand our part in being about our Father's business. We want to be about kingdom business in this season. Lord, give us peace. Lord, I thank you that you provide. You're our provider. What you've asked us to do, you're going to give us provision to do. What you've asked us to do, you're going to give us strength to do. Lord, I pray for those that are sitting here this morning and there's pain in their body. God, I pray right now for the pain to go in Jesus' name. I hear the Lord say there is no pain in heaven. So, Lord, thank you for just removing that pain from our bodies. Removing the torment that's going on in our minds. The thoughts, the worries, the anxiety. Lord, I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, release your peace into our minds. Lord, I thank you that we are an army called from heaven to go forward with your agenda. But Lord, as we go, you're the Prince of Peace that goes before us. And your peace guards our hearts and our minds. Lord, we can face tough situations, but have your peace. So Lord, I thank you for that peace that passes our understanding. Lord, to know that we know what your will is and how we are to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.